Hello, no BS. Hello, hello. Good morning. Coach Kathy here, sitting in for Coach MJ while she is in Nashville, Nolensville, actually, with Corinne, planning all the amazing things coming up for you. Very exciting to have MJ here in town because I know the things are happening. The things are happening. The plans are being made for all the amazing no BS stuff that's going to be coming up for you. Today, we have Coach Lisa, who is going to be with us in the chat. It's nice to see you too, Jean. Hello. Coach Lisa is going to be talking to you in all caps so that you can see all the amazingness that she has to offer you in the chat. Did I get you called up there, Lisa? Yeah, here she comes. Awesome. Awesome. What's coming? Let's do a little housekeeping first. Just a little housekeeping. If you are a brand new member on this call, welcome, 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 welcome to No BS. Welcome to the Wednesday Q&A. This is where we all come together every week. We learn a little bit and we answer a lot of questions. So while I'm talking, doing a few little intro things about transition eating, go ahead and put your questions in the Q&A. They can be about anything. I am here to make sure that you have everything you need to have a successful week. Lisa reminds us to make sure that your chat box, that little blue box right before you put something in the chat, is set to everyone. Otherwise, only Lisa and I will see your comments, and chances are I'm not going to be looking. I'm going to be in the Q&A. I'm going to be chatting with you. So, make sure your chat is set to everyone. What's coming up? April 27th, a week from Sunday, nighttime eating workshop. It's a half-day workshop. It is free to you as a member. I want you to think of this as like a simple virtual camp, a half-day virtual camp. Print out your workbook, come and listen to the content. Nighttime eating affects all of us, right? I mean, it really does if you think about it. I'm not a big after dinner eater, but that doesn't mean I don't think about it sometimes. That doesn't mean I don't think, wow, a cookie would be nice right now or something like that. And I have listened to this content, right? It's so good. It is so good, you all. Please don't miss it. Free to you as a member. If you have friends that you wish to attend, have them email support and they can give them a link. Or I bet Lisa has the sales page that you can give your friends as well. Then we're going to take everything we learned in the workshop and we're going to work on it through the month of May. There's going to be blown out more nighttime eating content through the month of May. Oh, and Karen says, Karen, thank you, Karen. I just saw your note. The workshop will be on replays in the replays if you miss it. And that's, I mean, I listen, I'm honestly almost never attend a call live unless it's this call. I listen to everything on replays because you can speed it up a little bit, which is very cool. Especially if you're listening to me on replays, because I tend to be a slow talker. You could speed me up easy. So May, back to May. We're going to take the nighttime eating workshop material. We're going to blow it out. We're really going to focus in on nighttime eating in May. And then June, y'all, she has hit me right where I love it. In June, we're going to talk about emotional eating. And y'all know that's my jam. Feeling the feelings, making sure you're honoring yourself, and what you're feeling. You're hearing what you're feeling. You're giving yourself that gift before you eat. So we got some really great stuff coming up for you all. So hang tight, hang tight. Okay. A few little things. Let me get my little notes here. I wanted to share with you about this week's content. So I was looking at the, I got kind of tickled. Whoever writes our emails, I love you because they make me laugh. So it says, today, Kathy will answer all your questions, which I will. You got to put them in the Q&A though, y'all. I have nothing there yet. But we're going to spot sneaky transition triggers. Okay. Like the late afternoon slump that has you craving snacks. That was me. 3 o'clock, you could set a an alarm by my urge at 3 o'clock. The siren song of the drive-through on your way home. We got any people here who tend to like drive through the McDonald's or the Dairy Queen or something between work and home? I see that quite a bit. And the tricky sundown time before dinner. Girl, that was me too. I'll tell you all about it. But here's what I want to do. I was listening to, so I love the Wednesday call. I love it. I listen to it every week. And I was listening to last week's because I was on vacation last week, a little while ago. And I thought, you know what? Let's define trigger. Okay. Because I think we have this concept that a trigger is like a bad thing. No. The trigger is is what happens, the event that starts the process. Okay. So if you are in a habit loop, something is triggering your habit, whether it's like MJ was talking about last year, last week, sitting at a certain place in your living room might be a trigger. Driving by the McDonald's, seeing the McDonald's might be the trigger for the drive-through. Okay, driving the same way home might be the trigger that starts the habit of this transition eating. Okay, so trigger's not a bad thing. It's like the little thing that happens that our habit brain latches onto and says, oh, yeah, this is what we're supposed to do next. Okay. And then transition periods. Let's talk just for a minute about what a transition period is. It's that time where we're moving from one big part of our day into another big part of our day. So for me, the big transition period was leaving work, picking up my kids, and coming home and moving it from fiscal director mode at the time to mom mode. That was a big transition period for me. So it's a for me, it's that home to work transition. Other people, it's moving from one task at work to another task, or moving at one task at home to another task. For some people, it's after they put the kids to bed and they can go, day's over, time for me now. And for some people, it's just switching from one thing in your day to another thing. Like maybe after you take your walk and before you go to work. So it's that time when you are changing activities that gets really start, we start to get habit loops formed around eating. So the first thing to do is to start noticing what you're feeling during that time. Are you feeling things like boredom, stress, overwhelm, relief? I tell you, when I came home from work and I tried, here I am hustling my boys, trying to make sure that they're getting their homework done. I'm getting dinner on the table. Ken's walking in, all the things happening at once. I felt overwhelmed, felt overstimulated because as you can imagine, I'm a pretty quiet person. I like my quiet. I like the calm. And I can get overstimulated pretty quick. So that's what would happen to me. So guess what I would do? As I, got the kids settled. Well, I say got the kids settled. They would come upstairs in their room and either play games or do homework. I'd pull everything out for dinner. I'd sit there at the stove, and I'm not kidding, with a stack, I'm talking 6 or 8 double stuffed Oreos stacked up next to the stove, popping an Oreo in, one right after the other, while I'm fixing the dinner. That was my transition eat. Isn't that crazy? I mean, that's just what I did, though. I didn't see anything wrong with it. Karen says, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Yeah. So guess what? I don't keep in the house anymore. That's how I removed the trigger. I don't keep the Oreos in the house anymore. That was the easy part, right? So here's what you need to do when you start to see these transition things happening. You name the trigger routine reward loop. I'm going to say that again. It's a loop. This habit loop is it. Starts with a trigger, you go into a habit routine, and you're getting some kind of reward. So the example would be for me, walking in the house, settling down the kids, it's a trigger. The routine is to start dinner and grab my Oreos, and the reward is a little bit of me time, a little bit of me only looking at the stove, not managing kids, not managing work things, not managing partners. All I'm doing is spend a little time with me and my Oreos. Then the next thing you do, now that you know what your habit loop is, what your trigger is, what your transition time is, what your trigger is, how the routine plays out, and what your reward is, you pull that routine out and you replace it with something else. Okay. So in my case, walk in the house, pull out dishes, maybe instead of put my headphones on and listen to some music rather than grab my Oreos. That also gives me time. So the reward stays the same. Just that piece in the middle, that routine piece that moves me from the trigger into the reward, changes. And it changes to something that actually is caring for me that won't put extra weight on my ass. Okay. And I love me some music. I love to sing. I love to dance. I love to, do my little thing. I'm not a great dancer, but I love to move to music. So that's what I started doing. Other things you can replace with, maybe walk, a little short walk. Maybe you step outside on your deck and just breathe some fresh air and have some sunshine. Maybe you make a cup of tea. Maybe you text a friend. I've done this too. Another one of my trigger routine reward loops is when Ken leaves to go teach yoga. I like to get in the potato chips. And I don't even know what the reward is, just satisfaction, I guess. But I got to where I would Marco Polo my friend Judith. And I'd say, girl, it's Thursday. It's Thursday. You know what this girl's gonna wanna do? She's gonna wanna get in the potato chips. So when I finish work and I walk downstairs, I'm gonna Marco Polo you instead of go to the pantry. And it works because then you're accountable to somebody. You can take slow, deep breaths. The trick is to keep it easy and as satisfying as the snack. So, as you think of these things, as you think of what this routine piece can be substituted with, write down in your planner what worked, what didn't work, what you want to try again, what your ideas are. Okay? And then the other thing you can do with that routine piece is you can make it harder. Okay, and I like to think of doing this at the same time, right? So you're going to replace the routine, but you're also going to make that routine, that the Oreo piece, you're going to make it harder to do. Like, you don't want to keep the Oreos on the counter. If you're going to keep them in the house, put them in the freezer. Put them on the uppermost shelf of your pantry. Move them into a drawer. Put them somewhere else. Put the trigger snacks somewhere else out of sight or in a different room. And then whatever you're going to replace it with, make that super accessible. Like if you're going to be like me and put headphones in, lay them out right there on the counter so they're there when you get home. Okay? Walk a different path through the house. If you're one of those people that comes in, goes straight to the pantry and is eating on your way upstairs, change clothes, walk a different way. Don't go through the pantry. Don't go through the kitchen. Come in a different door. Any kind, MJ talked about this last week too. Any kind of little pattern interrupt will also make your brain, take your brain out of the habit loop, make it a little curious, maybe even a little weird feeling, but that's okay. That's okay. So you want to change the routine and interrupt the pattern. So my challenge to you is this. Work on one pattern at a time. One transition time at a time. Figure out what triggered it, what you're going to do instead, and how you felt afterwards. And then here's another little tip, and then we'll get to questions because I see we've got some. Another little tip is think about future you who goes to bed tonight. Do you want her to be disappointed because you ate a stack of Oreos while you fixed dinner? Or do you want her to feel like, oh yeah, I got this. I did it. I did it, y'all. I put my headphones in instead of ate my Oreos. Who do you want to be when you lay your head in bed at night? How do you want to feel? Right? You want to feel proud, right? Or maybe you want to feel curious. Okay, I ended up eating. I wonder why. What can I try tomorrow? What you don't want to feel is the beatdown. If you're working on this, you're not going to be perfect. You just need to be consistent. Okay? So, I'm going to get to questions. If you want to put your evening trigger time in the Q&A and what your habit loop is, we can brainstorm some pattern interrupts for you. How about that? We can do any of that kind of stuff here on the call today. All right, so I'm going to get to questions. Let me close this out. All right. Anonymous says, my husband and I have been navigating through infertility. My best friend had her beautiful baby on Monday. I didn't expect this to be so hard. I'm sad. I'm not turning to food, so that's good, but it certainly is uncomfortable to be so sad. Any questions, suggestions navigating this? Anonymous, I feel for you. I do. And I want to give you permission to be sad. I want you to allow yourself to be sad. Because here's the thing. When you want something as desperately as you do, and you see that it's easy for someone else and hard for you, of course you're going to be sad. It's so important that we pay attention to our emotions. And this is, y'all, she has hit my jam. If we're paying attention to our emotions and we're allowing them to feel them, and we're telling ourselves it's okay to feel any feeling, we are actually hearing ourselves. We are connecting back with ourselves. You know how important it is when you have an idea and you really want to express it and you know it's a good idea and nobody will listen, you know that rub that you feel. If you're not feeling your emotions, you're giving yourself that rub. If you are not paying attention to how you feel, if you are not honoring your sadness, your grief, your joy, your whatever, you're losing that connection to yourself. So, what I want to offer you, Anonymous, is that you allow yourself to be sad and happy for her at the same time. Sad for you, happy for her. Because if you allow the sadness, if you allow it to be there, eventually your brain will solve for it. Your brain will say, you know what? It's really okay. We're going to keep trying. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to try this thing. We're going to love on these babies. We're going to do whatever it is we need to do to feel better. But if you just tamp it down, if you just push it down, it's going to come back up. It's going to be like a jack in the box, right? We're just going to close the lid on it. Something else happens, a little trigger happens, the wheel turns, boom, there it is again. But if you honor the emotion, it will come and go with ease, okay? I feel for you. I do. And that's what I would tell you. So if you have any questions about that, let me know, okay? Amy says, popcorn. How do I go to the movies and not eat the whole bucket? I get the whole bucket so I can refill it. Most economical. Is it really economical, Amy? Is it really economical? Let's think about that. In one sense, it might be. Right? Because you get all the popcorn for whatever you paid. But then all that popcorn, whatever you overeat of that popcorn, your body is going to store for you. And it's going, you're going to pay a currency in weight, in emotional distress, in disappointment for eating that popcorn. So is it really the most economical? Something to think about. Ken and I don't go to the movies very often, but when we do, we'll get the smallest popcorn. And I know if I eat the first one, I'm gonna want more. It's gonna be like urge triggered, more popcorn, more popcorn. So I let him eat all he wants first. Then I have a few handfuls and I hand it back to him. And I say, either go throw this away or put it on the other side of your chair or whatever you need to do so that it's out of my line of sight and not available to me. Remember, I was talking about making the trigger foods harder to get to? Well, if it's all the way over there on the other side of him, then I've either got to ask him for it when I've already told him I'm not going to eat anymore, or I've got to climb over him or something like that. So think about that. When you say it's the most economical, is it really? Is it really? I heard MJ say one time, she was talking about her mama and about how she used to eat over her mom and her mom's treatment of her and whatnot. And she finally decided, she said, I'm not giving my weight loss to my mama. I wonder, Amy, if you could think, I'm not giving my weight loss to the movies. Right? Are you there to eat the popcorn? Are you there to watch a flick? Think about it. Okay. Anonymous says, I've started taking pre and probiotics. My stomach does feel better. Are there certain biotics I should target? I have been off refined sugar and carbs for 3 weeks. The scale is slowed, a little slow to move. However, my clothes are loose. I know things are happening. My body feels so good now. Great question. I will tell you what Chris Crabtree told me. So I had a kidney stone a couple of years ago, and was having a lot of trouble trying to balance my own gut biome. And he suggested Thorne, Thorne vitamins. Now, if you go to their website, they got a little quiz, they'll ask you how old you are and, this kind of stuff. And then they'll kind of point you toward what they suggest. But I take one of their probiotics. And y'all, sometimes those vitamin places will say, take three of these pills every day. I take one and I see how I do with it. And if I feel good, I don't increase. So that's the probiotic that I take, and I think it works very well for me. I also take it at night. Yeah, Christy says Thorne is a great brand. iPhone says, does anyone really notice a difference with vitamins? If so, what kind? I really believe these Thorne vitamins, they're a little bit more expensive than what you get at the Walmart. I believe I feel better on them, and they're more targeted to what my body needs than a rando one a day. But if the rando one a day vitamins work for you, I would say keep going. Okay? So I hope that helps you. Turmeric helps my joints. I can feel the difference. Yeah, there's a lot of different types of vitamins and supplements you can consider. But I will say this. There are certain vitamins and supplements you should not take with other medications. So make sure your doctor or your pharmacist knows the whole of everything you're considering. Because I know turmeric is great, but you're not supposed to take it with certain things or at certain times of the day or something like that. So make sure you're not mixing things that don't need to be mixed. Okay? Regina says, just joining, not sure where we are, transitioning from work to now being a mom. That's hard. Thank you for this. You're welcome, Regina. Just joining, so I'm assuming that you're pretty new. Please know this, Regina. We as coaches, me, Lisa, there are 7 or 8 more of us. We are here for you. We are doing this work because we want to help you lose your weight for the last time. So make sure you're using the Ask Coaches. Make sure you are asking questions on calls like this. Make sure if you're in the Facebook group, tag us with anything you need. The Facebook group is a great place to get community support. Like you see in the chat, you got all kinds of people who have all kinds of experience. So make sure you're using us, and we're always around and always here for you. Okay. You said you're transitioning from work to being a mom. Is that your transition period through the day? Watch what your inclination is. If you transition really easily from work day to mom day, that's perfect. But if you don't, you might think of something you can do for yourself, like on your drive home or before you start dinner, that helps you like settle in after the work day and into being a mom. And that's usually something really helpful. Sarah says, I'm away for holiday for 7 days. I just quit. I'm in the same pattern. I feel defeated. You just quit what, Sarah? I'm still away and feeling so horrible physically and emotionally. Sarah, I need some more information. I'm away for holiday and for 7 days, I just quit. I'm in the same pattern. Do you mean you just quit watching what you eat? You just quit no BS? Is that like the no BS stuff, the basics? Super easy to do on holiday. I just got back from vacation myself. Did I plan? No. Totally out of my routine. So when I talked about the habits, the trigger, the routine, the reward, the trigger for me to make my plan is to come out of the shower and see my planner right there, on the table next to the couch in my bedroom, right? I didn't have a table next to a couch in a bedroom when I was on vacation. So I totally got out of my routine and forgot to plan for 7 days. Not beating myself up though. I'm just understanding that got myself out of a productive habit loop. Maybe that's all you've done, Sarah. So how can you, I guess if you're away for holiday now, how can you recreate that habit loop for yourself? And just pick one, whether it's a plan or waiting for hunger or something like that, because you're so far out of habit loop. See what you can bring back in a little bit at a time while you're on vacation. It's so much easier for us to do this work when we're in the same routine every day. When we go on vacation, we have to plan for it sometimes. And sometimes we have to recreate a little bit of a routine so that we can make sure that we're showing up for ourselves. The fact that you brought that on this call indicates to me that you know that there's work to do. I need you to set aside feeling horrible physically and emotionally and just say, all right, what's my next best decision here? What's the next thing I can do? What am I going to have? I don't know where you are. What am I going to have for lunch? How can I show up for myself? Because vacation, sometimes vacation is about the food. Dina would tell you that, right? When we were on vacation last week, we were in Amelia Island, Florida, which is like the shrimp capital. So guess what? Guess what we ate a lot of was shrimp. But we ate it when we were hungry and we stopped it enough. Okay? So make sure you are reminding yourself of what your goals are and you are reestablishing those simple routines for yourself. And then try and set aside the judgment. What you've learned is that when you're out of routine, you have to recall the routine. So one of my favorite things to say, Sarah, is every mistake gives us an opportunity to learn. Every setback gives us an opportunity to learn. So what can you take from this to move forward? That's my question for you. Okay. Regina, how do I get myself to do these things in the moment? I don't care. I have the awareness that I don't care, so I don't do the things. I don't care about what my future self will think. I don't care about my weight loss goals in the moment. No, because you're in the habit loop. It totally makes sense. Okay, there's nothing wrong. Sometimes we do the things even though we don't care. That's what makes the change for us. I tell my private clients sometimes, y'all, I say, be Nike, just do it. Don't wait for all the lush, lovely thoughts. Don't wait for, the big, beautiful, ray of sunshine. Just do what you know you're supposed to do, even though it feels uncomfortable. Because that's how you show yourself that it's not that hard, that you can do it, that there's work that you can do, even though you don't care. I mean, think about it, Regina. When you go to work, or when you, I'll even leave it at home, when you have bathrooms to clean, you really want to clean bathrooms? Or do you like what happens when the bathroom is clean? Do you like how the bathroom looks when it's clean? Right? I mean, you can always just not go to that bathroom. Or you can clean the bathroom and go, bathroom looks pretty good. Kind of sucked cleaning it. But, now I've got the reward part of it. So think about it from those terms. Okay. Sometimes we do things even though we're uncomfortable. And that's what I encourage you to do. Even if you think you don't care, you really do, or you wouldn't be on this call putting a question in the Q&A. It's just your habit brain going, really? Do we want to change that? It's so easy what we've been doing. Yes, we want to change that habit brain. We want to develop new habits and put them in our habit cycle so that we lose our weight for the last time. All right. She says, so good. Awesome. Regina, again, her trigger is not working, being with kids, doing house stuff, and a list of things I could be doing. I go to eating and snacking. That's another transition time, right? When we're kind of procrastinating, thinking that we're going to wait and do something, I'll just have a snack. Sometimes I'm trying to think of what that's called. Maybe it's just transition eating, procrastination eating. How about that? I'll have a snack and I'll get to that in a minute. Well, why don't you just skip the snack part? Right? You're not working. You're with kids doing house stuff. Procrastinating, Lisa says. Yes. Regina, are you a person that likes a schedule? What if you created for you, just like you were at work, what if you created a calendar for yourself? From 8 to 9 o'clock, I clean the kitchen. From 9 to 10 o'clock, I go for a walk. From 11 to 12 o'clock, I take care of the kids. From 1 to 2 o'clock, it's rest time. Whatever it is, what if you were to schedule your day? Now, y'all know Kathy's pretty analytical. I'm pretty much a, calendar goddess. I look at my calendar, y'all, and I say, what am I supposed to be doing right now? Oh, I'm supposed to be on a Q&A. Let's fire that up. So I find a lot of relief in pre-planning my day because then I don't have to remember what I want to work on. I just move from one thing to the next thing. It provides me a lot of comfort, a lot of certainty, a lot of clarity. And if I did not have a structured day, I would probably sit around on the couch and watch TV all day. That's not how that, I mean, seriously, I don't know how many days I have in this life. So I want to be productive. I want to be, service oriented and giving and doing my thing, right? I want to get stuff done. I want to create a life I love rather than just procrastinating. So what if you were to try that, Regina? What if you were to try creating a little schedule for yourself so that, you can put it in the notes app on your phone. You probably got your phone in your hand all the time. We all do, right? You can go, okay, it's 8 o'clock. What am I supposed to be doing right now? It's 3 o'clock. Oh, the kids are coming home from school. Let me get the snacks ready for them. And, I'll see them when they come in. You're going to feel better about yourself when you are more productive as well. She says, I will do that. I'll create a schedule for my evening. I do it for work, but not as well for evening. Good. Awesome. Awesome. All right, Elizabeth. As soon as I sit down to relax and watch a show with my husband at night, I immediately want snacks. Like you got a button in your butt, isn't it? Like sitting that right in that snack chair next to your husband. Sit down. It's like you got a flashing a siren going, snack time, right? I'm not sure how to just sit and watch a show without snacking as well. This is a great place to try MJ's pick another chair. Okay. Or maybe watch TV upstairs. Does your husband snack? Right? Sometimes it can be we have one TV and one couch. Sit on the floor. Sit, put husband on the couch, sit on the floor right there between his legs. So you still got that contact. You're still sitting with him, but you're in front of him. And you're not, if he's snacking, you're not seeing his snacks. See, try something. Yes, he's my little snack gremlin. Try something that interrupts the pattern, that changes the routine just a little bit. Sit further down on the couch so you can't reach the snacks. It's going to be, here's the thing, Elizabeth, and MJ talked about this last week too. It's going to be uncomfortable. But sometimes discomfort is the currency we pay for weight loss, right? So if you remind yourself, you know what, I'm not really hungry. I know I always snack. But tonight, I'm going to try and wait 5 minutes before I stick my hand in that bowl. Let's see where I what I can do. See if the urge burns off. Okay, so try that. When you said one TV, one couch, that's fine. Sit somewhere else. Swap places with him. Sit on the floor. Watch something different on TV. Sit outside. Then he would crunch on my ear and drive me nuts and get other. Darling, I can't help you with that. And yes, I do want to agree with what Lisa's saying here. If you're hungry, like I'm talking body hungry, not brain hungry. I think I'm hungry. Body hungry, have a snack. But if it's just habit, if it's just like, oh, he's got a snack, I want some too, that's not really body hunger. Amy says gum, hot tea. I have a client who drinks hot tea when her husband is snacking. It's something to hold your hands with, hold in your hands that's warm and soothing. Some people, MJ, paints by numbers. Betsy crochets. If you're doing something with your hands while you're watching TV, you don't want to get Cheeto dust on whatever you're crocheting, right? Fidget toys, all that kind of thing. Okay. So try to do something with your hands in a different part of the room and see if that helps. Anonymous says, my pattern loop at night. I have two. One, end of day, kids need me. I'm already tired and feeling crappy, so I just start grabbing and grazing from needing energy and not wanting to deal. Second pattern is everyone goes to bed and I'm running on empty and need relief and comfort. So I need to eat a few handfuls of something. Okay. I love, love, love that you know your patterns. This is beautiful. Of course, you're tired after work. Now you're in the second shift, right? So let's normalize that for you. We've worked all day. Now we got to hustle kids at night. Of course, you're tired. I'm gonna offer you something a little bit biological. You ready? Eating doesn't create energy. Eating actually pulls energy away from your brain and extremities and puts it into your stomach and intestines. This is why after you eat a big meal, you feel tired. Because the energy has, your body is so smart, it says food incoming, all the blood flow and energy needs to go to our midsection. So it doesn't really help. What it's doing for you is it's transitioning you. It's giving you that routine of, okay, now I go from here and I go for that, and a little bit of spark probably of calm or relief, right? So how can you give yourself to that in a different way? That's the question. So if you take that time that you're eating and you step outside on the deck, or you take a few deep breaths, or you walk around the block, or do something else that is actually self-soothing, that gives you a period of like calm and quiet before you start second shift, that's the replacement for the eating. Okay? That's the pattern interrupt. Then the second pattern, everyone goes to bed, I'm running on empty, feeling the need for relief, so I eat a few handfuls of something. Okay, after everyone goes to bed, why aren't you going to bed? If you are needing relief and comfort, so have y'all ever heard me talk about my bed? I love my bed. I love my pillow. I love the way my sheets feel. It is like the most luxurious place in my entire house. So when I want comfort and relief, where do you think Kathy goes? I snuggle down into that bed. I don't even eat in my bed. Because I don't want to feel the crumbs in my bed. I'm not like Crin Crabtree who has dinner in bed. But when I'm ready for bed, I go all in. I put on my favorite pajamas. I lay in my bed. I think about the sheets. I pull them up to here. I might even put a weighted blanket on just to feel warm and cozy. That's the comfort that I want you to find after the kids go to bed. Some people do a warm shower. Not a clean yourself up shower, just a warm, I'm gonna be by myself for a few minutes and enjoy the water kind of shower. I've seen studies where people sleep better if they take a hot shower before bed. Y'all ever heard that? I did a coaching call one time where one of the members had she has high needs foster children. And when she finally gets those down at night, those kids down at night, she wants all the comfort and relief. And so she would go to eating. And I said, tonight, before you eat, tell yourself you can eat if you want to, but before you eat, you need to take a hot shower. And y'all, she did. And not only did she take a hot shower, she enjoyed it so much, she lotioned. She did the face stuff. She made it a spa experience and then went to bed. She did not eat that night. So self-care, something self-soothing, relaxing to you that is individual to you, is what you do to replace the eating. Okay? I have a question. I lost my mom, and I noticed the other day after talking about her with people, I immediately went to the corner store for Ben and Jerry's. And now I've been doing good the rest of the week, but I haven't lost, and now I'm mad I did it, but at the time it just felt like I needed it. Well, you probably did feel like you needed it. It made you uncomfortable to talk about your mom. Sad, grief. And your natural response was likely, I don't want to feel this. I don't want to cry. I don't want to feel this in front of these people. I want to ask you why not? You know, the thing about grief is everybody does it differently. It pops up when we least expect it, and we wouldn't feel it if we didn't also feel love. So when you went for the ice cream, you may have muted the grief a little bit, but you probably also muted the love. We don't grieve people we don't care about. We don't love, we don't miss. So when we're tamping down the grief, we're also not thinking about them at all. So I want to invite you to normalize the grief. Of course, I'm sad. I miss her. I lost my mom in 1992, y'all. How many years is that? 30 something years now? 33 years? And I miss her every day. But that's okay. because I also want to remember the love that I have for her. Look, here come the tears. Sorry, y'all. Here come the tears. Now, the second part of this is that you're mad that you did it at the time. Let's kind of separate mad from the fact that you did it. Let's kind of understand why you did it and give yourself the grace to know that it was just a self-protection mechanism. It was just, I didn't know what else to do. Now I have another tool, another something to think about the next time something brings up mom. Do I really want to go and eat ice cream? Or do I want to go home and have a conversation with her? You ever have a conversation with her? I talk to my mom in the shower. I talk to my dad when I'm just, y'all, I'm just crazy, just like everybody else. But when I see a cardinal or a bird outside, my dad was a big bird watcher. I'll talk to my dad. But in the shower, I talk to my mom. Don't know why. But that's how I continue to focus on the love and the feelings that I have for them. So I would encourage you to do that. Okay. Allow the feelings to be there, allow them to burn off, and then, do the best you can to honor what you feel about your mom. Okay. Ice cream doesn't honor what you feel. It only buries it, pushes it down, and it doesn't give your feelings a voice. Okay. Susan, last night I served my planned dinner, but it looked like it wasn't enough. I journaled saying, I know I will have the urge to go off plan and eat other things. Don't do it. However, despite journaling, I did exactly what I expected. I broke my plan and ate all the food. Advice? Yes. So I love that you took this to your journal. All right. But what you probably did in your journal was kind of reinforce the fact that you were going to overeat. All right. So maybe next time you go to your journal and you say, I'm concerned I didn't have enough to eat, but I know if I get hungry again, that food is always available. Right? That's so different and so much more compassionate than I know I'm going to overeat if I don't serve myself enough food. So you might think about that. Okay? Think about, when we are focused on enough, it's very, very common for us to think, that's not going to be enough. Oh my gosh, I eat so much more than that. But we really don't know, especially in the beginning, how much enough really is. So you have to give yourself permission to stop and wait a few minutes and then say, if I still need food, if my body still needs food, not my brain, that brain will ham us up every time, right? If my body still needs food, I can totally have some more. But I'm not going to eat because I think I might need for more food. I'm going to eat if my stomach is still growling, if I get hungry later, or something like that. Okay. So maybe turn your journaling in that direction. I'm going to take a pause, but I'm not ruling out eating more if my body needs it. Because that's what all this is all about, y'all. It's about learning what your body needs. From a food perspective, from a sleep perspective, from a water perspective, from an emotional feeling perspective. Because when we really tune into, when we can connect our heads and our bodies, then, instead of just always relying on rules and head and thoughts and all that kind of stuff, if we can connect to our bodies, then we're going to have a whole lot more self-compassion, a whole lot more self-understanding and acceptance. Okay? Let's see. I was in the call yesterday. I battled depression. Some in here may remember me. This is Amanda. One of my biggest problems is, despite dealing with a lack of self-worth and thinking I'm completely worthless, I take care of everyone else. I am my husband's rock and take care of my daughter. I am empty by the end of the day, so I stay up late and snack. It's my me time. I don't know how to snap this habit. I would bet if we asked your husband and your daughter if you had worth, they would say 100%. Right? Because that's who you take care of. So start there. You're not worthless. You're worth something to those people that you support and take care of all day long. Yes, she says, yeah, not probably, right? So, in micro moments, Amanda, in little bitty places, how can you start caring for yourself? You take care of everyone else. I bet there are small ways you take care of yourself too, like this late staying up late and snacking. That's something that you're giving to yourself. It has unintended consequences, right? It's overeating. It's stored somewhere in your body, probably, but it's a way you are caring for yourself in the moment. You're grasping that me time. How else can you do that? That is my challenge for you. What else can you do in your me time that feels really good to you? Is it a hot shower? Is it listening to music? Is it watching your favorite Netflix show? What else can you give yourself? Okay. I teach this concept a lot called pause plus permission. So I want you to think about this, Amanda. When everybody goes to bed and it's me time, and your brain says, okay, time for a snack, I want you to pause for a couple of minutes, however long feels reasonable to you. I always suggest 5, but if that's too long, just try 2 or 3 and try something else first. One of the things we do here is, it's just me and my husband in this house. So we take everything off the dining room table and we set out 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzles. And I can tell you, when I go downstairs, if I go to that jigsaw puzzle first and I start working on it, my brain just lights up. It's like that little bitty teeny tiny piece of Kathy's creative brain. I only have a little bitty tiny piece. Just lights up. And I really enjoy putting that puzzle together. That's me time. Sometimes I do it with, y'all really want to laugh. I love old time country music, Statler Brothers, Oak Ridge Boys, Johnny Cash, that kind of stuff. I'll put those in my ears and work my jigsaw puzzle, and that's me time. I have figured that out over time, though, by trying different things. So, Amanda, that's what you do in the pause. You try those different things. Maybe it's a hot shower. Maybe it's a jigsaw puzzle. Maybe it's paint by numbers. Maybe it's your favorite show on Netflix. Maybe it's sitting on the floor instead of sitting on the couch. Try those things that help that are feel good to you for 2 or 3 minutes to see if it lands. Okay? That's what I want you to do. Let me know how. I would love, Amanda, I'd love for you to come to ask coaches and tell me what you've tried and let us work on that a little bit more. My habit loop. I watch several episodes of Survivor before going to bed. As much as I love sleep, I fight going to bed. Why? Why do you fight going to bed, Suzanne? Get something crunchy to stay awake. And what if you love going, if you feel tired and you love sleep, don't get something crunchy, just go to bed. I mean, seriously, my reward is staying up late to watch more. Suggestions welcome. Well, here's the thing. If you have a DVR, which I'm assuming you do if you watch several streaming, you can watch those episodes anytime. You don't have to watch them at night. Right? Just go to bed. Think lush thoughts about your bed like I do. I love my sleep. I do love my sleep. And man, that bed feels good. Yeah, I love that pillow. What if you got in bed and watched Survivor? Okay. You gonna eat in bed? Who likes crumbs in their bed? Nobody. I grew up in Rhode Island, y'all. Y'all. From 2 to 12, I lived in Rhode Island. And I talked like a Yankee back then. And so we used to go to the beach, the town beach, every day in the summertime. And I got this, I you know, all the sand and everything. I really got to where I didn't like sand between my toes, sand in my bed, sand on the floor. I really don't like that gritty sand in my mouth, that gritty texture. So I know I'm not going to eat in bed because the crumbs make me think of having sand in the bed. So why not create this love affair with going to bed? I get to wash my face. I get to put on all the lotion. I brush my teeth, my favorite pajamas, getting those sheets that I love. I don't need something crunchy to stay awake because I love my bed and I want to get go to sleep. So think about that. How can you create a love affair create a really lush routine around going to bed. So you're not fighting it anymore. You watch Survivor till you're sleeping. So I'm watching Netflix right now. I'm watching The Resident. And I was home by myself last night. And I got in bed on the third episode and I thought, I'm just gonna watch one more. So, like you know, I like to watch things in a binge-like fashion. And I got about halfway through that and I could barely hold my eyes open. And I thought, pause, I'll pick this up again tomorrow because it's time for sleep. It's honoring what I need, right? And what I needed wasn't something crunchy to stay awake, it was sleep. So think about that, Suzanne. Okay? Why are you fighting sleep? And can't you just go to bed and snuggle in and feel really good about bed? Okay. Kristen, I would really like to have you talk about journaling if you have time. I have never been a diary type writer, and journaling is not silly, but I feel silly doing it. I understand the benefits and I just can't get to it. I'd love to hear how people get past this. The downfall is simply portion size. How do I write about that every day, mainly focusing on lunch and dinner? I'm gonna give you a journal prompt, Kristen. For the next 7 days, ask yourself this in your journal. Why is stopping at enough important to me? That's it. Next 7 days, every day in your journal, why is stopping at enough important to me? Your answers will differ, may differ from day to day. And at the end of the week, you will have all kinds of whys to focus in on your portion size. Okay? Also, if you go to the website and you search on my name, Kathy, during the journaling month, I gave different types of journaling, like 8 or 10 different types of journaling. Go back and listen to that call, and you can pick the type of journaling that most suits you as well. Okay? Colleen, I've been here about 2 months. I'm starting to believe I'm worthy of Ask Coaches, thus, Colleen, everybody's worthy of Ask Coaches. Please use Ask Coaches. Please, please, please. You are definitely worthy to ask a coach anything. Okay. What can I do when I say I'll do better tomorrow? It seems tomorrow never comes. Stop saying I'll do better tomorrow. Okay. What you're going to do is saying, I'm going to make my next best food decision. Okay. Tomorrow, you're right. If you keep saying I'll do better tomorrow, tomorrow didn't come. But if you say, okay, that was an overeat. The next time I eat is not going to be. The next time I eat, I'm going to be on plan. The next time I eat, I'm going to cut my meal in half. Then that becomes much more action oriented rather than pushing it out into the future. Okay. I've been doing good with leaving bites before the meal, and after the meal, it's a snacking or going to the store when I have no snacks at home. Go back and use that pause plus permission piece that I was talking about. Put in a pause, do something nice for yourself that doesn't involve food. Okay. So I noticed Lisa was telling you all about my how to feel this hard stuff calls. I always talk about the five core pillars. These are five things that our bodies love that make us feel good. One is sunshine, one is movement, and I'm not talking about running marathons, y'all. I'm talking about walking the driveway or stretching. So we have sunshine, movement, nutrients, foods that make you feel good. And I bet what you're getting at the store is not foods that ultimately make you feel good, right? It might taste good, but they don't make you feel good. So nutrients. Sleep. We've talked about sleep a lot here, creating a love affair with your sleep routine. Oh gosh, connection is the other one. So when you are snacking, can you connect with a friend, with your partner, with a kid, with a brother, with a sister? Can you call somebody up? Can you dive in and say, what do I really need right now, and connect with yourself? So try some of those things, Colleen. Hello, Sarah says along those lines, I'm so far into overwhelm with dick parents out of state and sick, I guess that means sick parents out of state, and a sick husband at home and full-time work that I've given up on planning most of my other basics and my normal eating. I know it, but I can't seem to find the umph to get with it. So when things feel overwhelming, Sarah, we don't try and add back things all at one time. Okay, that's just overwhelms us that much more. So I want you to pick one thing that you can focus on that is for you, whether it's waiting to eat breakfast until you're hungry, or putting some lunches together and throwing them in the fridge so all you have to do is grab something, or making sure you're getting in bed on time. Okay, just pick one thing, Sarah, that will help move you back into paying attention to you as well. When we get overwhelmed with life, sometimes we got to back off and take it down to bare bones. And that's okay, right? Because we got sick people all over, sounds like, that need us. But you need to be able to take care of yourself as well. And you need to have those micro moments of self-care so that you don't pour from an empty cup. That's the big thing. So it could be just getting in bed at night and laying there and going, oh, I'm so glad I have just 1 minute for me. Okay. So make sure with overwhelm, you're not trying to add in or think about all adding to your overwhelm. Just do one thing. Okay. If you need help, hit us up and ask coaches. Lisa says, I'm so overwhelmed and stressed at the end of the day. I'm the caregiver for my 85-year-old bedbound mother, and the dynamics between us leave me constantly in survival mode with serious nervous system dysregulation. I'm so physically sick, and I can't shut my brain off or unwind for sleep without eating before bed. I'm at a total loss of how to deal with the end of the day. Oh, Lisa. Where do I start with you? So I do a lot of work with people on the nervous system. What you are doing when you eat at night is you are trying to regulate your nervous system so that you can rest. Okay, so there's lots of ways to regulate your nervous system. I talked about the five core pillars. Those are the biggies, but at night, it might seem like eating is the only option, right? So try a hot shower. Try reaching out to a friend. I would love, Lisa, for you to come Tuesday. I think it's next Tuesday to my call at 5 o'clock. How to feel the hard stuff without eating, because I can walk you through. We can talk back and forth about how to manage this. Private coaching is also an option for you, especially if this is a if you're going through a period of time that is difficult for you to manage. So what happens? Survival mode and nervous system dysregulation go hand in hand. So if you think about when you feel your best, you're at home base. That's when you feel calm, safe, controlled. You're probably not feeling a lot of that right now if you are overwhelmed and stressed all day. That's what your body is trying to do by sending up urges for you to eat. It's trying to bring all that stress and overwhelm energy back down so that you feel more calm and ready for bed. So there are other ways to bring that energy down, like meditation can be. I saw somebody suggest meditation. That can be a tough one when you're stressed and overwhelmed. It's hard to go straight to meditation to quiet your brain. But if you walk the floor, or you shake your body, or you release the tension in your neck, that's going to start the process of you coming back down into home base. So try something else before you eat to help you regulate and shut your brain off. Maybe it's journaling. What if you, Lisa, what if you were to just pull out a piece of paper and make a list of everything you don't want to forget? She says she sleeps maybe 4 hours, and this is over 2.5 years. Girl, I would love to coach you. Can you come to my ask? Can you come to my call on Tuesday? Can you come to my call? I think that would be the best, honestly, for us to talk back and forth so we can set you up with some things. It's hard to it's hard for me to know what's going to land with you without seeing you. Yes, I'll be there. Okay, Lisa, I'm going to make a note. So when you get on the call, raise your hand and we can talk. Awesome. Coach Lisa, is that all for me? I thought I saw another one there. Maybe you answered it. Good. Okay. Lisa, for now, when you're overwhelmed and stressed at night, I want you to just sit back, relax your body, and take three deep cleansing breaths. Okay? So you're going to breathe in, hold, and breathe out as far as you can breathe. Hold. Do that three times. Put your hand on your heart and say, I know I've got this. I'm going to talk to Kathy on Tuesday, and we're going to set up some stuff that's going to help me manage my sleep and manage my overwhelm. Okay. Suzanne, thank you, Coach Kathy. I'm Survivor Girl. I have some ideas about bedtime that I'm going to try. Perfect. Is there anything else anybody needs from me today? Thank you for being here. I don't see any other questions. I hope you really think about your transition periods. Is the call, Regina says it's the call every Tuesday. No, they rotate. I do one call a month. There are other calls. Betsy does a binge call. Coach Lisa does a sex and body image call. There's also a nighttime eating call. So they do rotate. The next one I do is on the 22nd, which coincidentally, y'all, is my dad's birthday. So want to talk about how to feel the hard stuff? My dad's been gone since 2015, and I was very close to him. So we'll see. We'll see how that call goes. You might see a tear or two, but that's okay. All right, that's all I've got. Watch your transition periods, identify them, then see if you can change the routine and keep the reward. Okay? Have a beautiful day, everyone. Talk soon.